Hi, everyone. It's time for Health Essentials with Dr. Roy Morgan of Jacksonville. Here's Dr. Morgan.
And good morning. Welcome to another program. All right. Sometimes I am challenged to find out what is the starting point. But if you're anything like I am, you're kind of curious. You enjoy learning. You want to know more about how the body works. Now, I'm kind of biased that way. If I can find a natural way to help the body function better and work better, well, I sure want to do that. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but I came across this article that I found very, very interesting. There's probably three or four that I look at each week that I'm just going, I didn't know that. But then again, isn't that kind of interesting and exciting? You've got something to look forward to. You can always learn new things. I just got through reading from a website that the brain stops growing and developing at age 40, and I thought, oh, no. I mean, isn't that like the way that we're designed? You're kind of supposed to keep maturing and growing and learning and gaining knowledge and understanding. Or another way of saying that is, you just keep pressing on so you can become better and better at what you do and how you understand things and how you function. Now, I realize some people don't do that. They don't want to get better. But everyone that's listening here does. Okay, this article, it has to do with sugar and being susceptible to getting sick with a viral infection, specifically. And I'll read some of it to you. I'm not going to read a lot of it. But it's just one of those points. If a person wants to stay well, then there's some rules that you got to live by. You can't just do whatever you want or eat or drink whatever you want without there being, you know, potential negative consequences, maybe even death, as to this article speaks. But there was a study, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to share this with you. This comes from, what year is this published? Okay, June 2025. That's this year. So it's hot off the presses. Okay, here's a study right here, and this is talking about people that came down with COVID. I'm not going to wear you out with tons of details, I hope, but I hope some of this you'll find interesting, and it will really make you think, like, how does this affect me, and what does this do to my children, or my friends, or people that I go to church with, or family members, or maybe my parents, you know, somebody that you love and you care about, but just consider this right here. Here's a study right here. I'll read the title of it. It's kind of wordy. Dietary glycemic index, glycemic load, and the risk of COVID-19, a prospective cohort study. One of the researchers' name is Masumi and Nuri and Bezadi. Another one named Clark. I can pronounce the one called Clark. All right, between February of 2020 and February 2021, researchers at Shiraz University of Medical Sciences, they monitored 3,319 university staff members. During this period, the COVID-19 virus, it had gained a foothold in the university, but this was before mass vaccinations against COVID-19. They hadn't begun yet. Nobody got them. And so all they did was the researchers tracked which study participants developed COVID-19 and which ones did not. Okay, so this is a reference point. So maybe you and I should be thinking, if we do not want to get sick with the next wave of whatever bug comes along, whether it's a stomach bug or the influenza, the flu, the plague, smallpox. Sorry, I'm just kind of joking about that. I shouldn't. But if there's a different form of COVID, you don't want that, okay? Okay, so the researchers had an idea of the study participants' dietary patterns, and what they did was they divided the study participants into three equal-sized groups. That's called a tertile, tertile, based on glycemic index and glycemic load. And you're probably wondering, what does the glycemic index means? That just means how quickly a carbohydrate or a starch converts into sugar. I think they give the number 100 to a spoonful of sugar. It's interesting. So what if it says 150 on the glycemic index? Well, that describes rice cakes. So you're telling me that rice cakes have a higher sugar load on the body than sugar does? Yeah, they do. What does the term glycemic load mean? Well, this one may sound confusing, but it means how much of the sugar they actually ate, or how much of the carbs actually had. You know, the load. When you hear the word load, you start thinking about weighing something out, like how much is the load in that dump truck. Okay, so let me get back to this right here. So here it is. Just consider this. And all they're doing is they're looking at who had the highest risk of developing, you know, the coronavirus infection, COVID-19. You don't want it. I don't want it. Nobody that we know, we don't want anybody that we know to have it. Okay, so it said the group with the highest glycemic index. And what that means is they were choosing a whole bunch of foods that evidently converted really, really easy into sugar. So let me say a different way. They were not eating cucumbers and avocados and sweet potatoes and green beans and black beans and salad. No onions and garlic. They were just loading up on grain, and sugar, probably. I have the chart, but I'm not going to go into all of it. It's just too technical for me. So people that had the highest glycemic index, they were six times more likely to develop COVID than the group with the lowest glycemic index. Now, what I'm curious about, I wonder if they could test that against the vaccine. So if you eat foods that convert into sugar pretty easily, think noodles, pasta, rice, lots of corn, bread, you know, processed foods, 600% increased risk of developing COVID. Now, is that a small number, 600%? No. Now, get this right here. This is the one, and I'll try to help you through this. So they said that the highest number of all was what's called glycemic load. That basically means how much or how high was the glycemic index multiplied by how much of it you actually ate. So it's one thing to put a teaspoon of honey in a cup of coffee or herbal tea, something like that. And it's another thing to eat a bowl of frosted cocoa sugar bombs for breakfast with two Pop-Tarts and a Coca-Cola. That would be a boatload of sugar times a factor of 10. It's just a huge amount. So here's what the research said. The group with the highest glycemic load had a whopping 54 times more likely to develop COVID than the study participants with the lowest glycemic load. Now, what is my takeaway and your takeaway from that? Folks, if you do not want to get sick, if you don't want to wreck your health or your immune system, it's not rocket science. If you know that you're at church and there's a, at the end of the church service, they say that 25 people are sick with the flu, maybe this should be like a clue for you not to eat sugar that day, or the next day, or the day after that. There's no way that you could make these numbers up. 54 more times likely to develop COVID when you had the highest amount of carbohydrates. Oh my goodness, that is a huge number. So maybe here's a different way of saying it. If you're a mom or a dad and you've got little bitty kids, don't give them sugar. Especially if we're in that time of the year where colds, flu, COVID, they're spreading like a wildfire. Stomach viruses, runny noses, pneumonia, just fill in the blank. And what they did was the researchers adjusted all the factors they could look at, like body mass index, smoking cigarettes or cigars or pipes, alcohol consumption, people that had diabetes, high blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, who exercised, who didn't. They even factored in the use of vitamin D. which I'm glad they did that, because vitamin D, it plays a most powerful role in helping to protect your immune system, to keep your immune system in good working order. So what they showed was, when there's a diet containing few carbohydrates, and in particular they have slow digesting carbohydrates, think about things like cucumbers and celery and avocados and green beans, broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, asparagus, Brussels sprouts, you know where I'm going with that. Those are slow digesting. It prevents the SARS-CoV-2 from taking root inside the body. And I'm going to try to make the rest of this real simple. They're basically saying the more glucose circulating in the body, the more the enzymes fire up that allow the virus to enter the cell and take over. They also go on to say that there's a chemical that your bodies make in your immune system to protect you from getting sick. Even protects you from things like cancer and from other infections. It's called interferon. Now, this particular one that they measured is called interferon gamma. Well, guess what happens? When you have high levels of sugar in your body, interferon production just comes to a standstill. Another one that they had mentioned, they mentioned the T cells. Now, the largest gland of your immune system is called your thymus gland. It's just under the upper part of the breastbone. It's right there in front of the heart, just under your sternum, up close to the suprasternal notch where your collarbones join. If you want to stay in good working order and live a long time, well, you got to have T cells. T is just short for thymus. Have you ever heard or read in a textbook about T killer cells? Well, these are the specific white blood cells. They're on a mission. If they search out every unique nook and cranny in your body looking for a cancer cell, oh my goodness, that's what you want, folks. You want to have as many T cells on the job as possible so they can surround a cancer cell, or maybe in the case of this study, an infection, and just get rid of it. Clear it out so a person doesn't have to, you know, succumb to disease. When you eat a lot of sugar, the T cells, all of a sudden, they don't work right. Now, they may work a little bit, but they're not working at 100%. Now, you may remember me saying that years ago, one of my most favorite studies that I think I can look at, I can just kind of dig into it, there's easy takeaways, but they show that the difference between a person that dies of old age at 65 and then another person that's still 95 years old and they're able to drive their own car to church on Sunday morning, and they could actually iron their clothes before church services, prepare their own breakfast. They might even go out and feed the chickens or slop the hogs like I used to as a boy. I did it over the fence, by the way. Those hogs would have devoured me if I fell into the trough. Anyway, but they can do everything that's required to maintain their health, their life, but there's a difference of 30 years. Well, what's the difference on paper? The immune system of a person that lives older and longer without health problems. It's because their immune system is working about 10% better. And I like thinking about that, because if I say, I want your immune system to improve by 10%, then you instantly think, and so do I, well, that's doable. You mean there's things that I can do to help my immune system work better? Yeah. Don't eat sugar. I mean, if you have some occasionally, I don't know that I'm concerned about that, because everybody likes to go to a birthday party or a celebration. But if you make it a daily habit of just continually loading your body with sugar, all you're doing is you're suppressing the ability of your immune system to keep you free from things like infection or cancer. Does that make sense? Now, here's another one right here. I'm not going to dwell on this like a long time, but I do find this interesting. Multiple times a year, I don't know, let me just say six times. It may be more than that, but I'm just going to use the number six. I'm going to have a person that walks in my office and they have a blood test. And one of the markers they look at is they look at the presence of what's called Epstein-Barr. Now, maybe you've never heard of the Epstein-Barr virus. Sometimes it's also maybe as a synonym is what I meant to say. They may use the term the cytomegalovirus. A lot of times they'll say everything like that's associated with fibromyalgia, Hashimoto's thyroiditis, or just severe chronic fatigue syndrome. If you're listening this morning and you have been exhausted and wiped out for a long period of time, and who knows, maybe you've had a case of mono. Maybe you're 14. Maybe you're 25 and you've had a case of mono and you just can't get well. I mean, yeah, you were in bed for 3 weeks and all you could do is get up and go to the bathroom and maybe eat a little bit, but you were so wiped out and exhausted. Well, that'd be typical of somebody having a condition called mononucleosis, or sometimes for short, we'll just call it mono. Well, if somebody walks in my door and they have this Epstein-Barr virus, I mean, that's one of the things I've got to think of. They're showing the highest, maybe that's not the right way of saying it, the greatest chance of a person developing a Epstein-Barr. Well, one of the factors, yeah, that's probably the more accurate way of saying it. The more sugar that you consume, and you know, I mean, sugar is like the most addictive thing of all time. I think in one study it showed it was even more addictive than crack cocaine. Okay, so if you don't want Epstein-Barr, or if you have it, if you're exhausted, well, this would be a pretty good indication that you need to do whatever it takes to greatly reduce the intake of sugar or foods that convert rapidly into sugar. Boy, that's where eating low-starch vegetables, and if you need something sweet, that's called berries, and you got your whole list of berries that are good for you. A lot of times I don't like looking at Wikipedia, but I find myself looking at it just to see what the, you know, people have to say about it. And of course, Wikipedia was saying this morning, I was looking up the definition of polyphenols. That's what's found in apples and blueberries and cherries and strawberries that are actually good for you. And they just kind of said it's like not that big of a deal. I'm going, well, okay, that's just somebody's opinion. But you can put things in your body that harm you. That's sugar. And you can put things in your body that actually help extend the quality of your life. Anyway, if you want to have 5,400% increase to risk of getting COVID-19, whatever mutated or mutation form is available out there right now, I'm sure there's plenty, then just eat a bunch of sugar. Eat a lot of it. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. So just think about that. The next time you're surrounded by people that are sick, and you know how people are, they will come to church, they will come to a get-together, they'll go out with friends, even though they're sick with a fever sometimes. I get it. There's a lot of people that just love to socialize, and they feel their best when they're around other people. That's awesome. But when you're sick, shouldn't you, like, stay home? You're thinking, well, who else is going to teach Sunday school? Well, believe me, it's not worth it to get 25 older people or young people sick. Anyway, so if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open. The phone number here at the station is area code 903-589-8507. Oh, my goodness, I've only been talking 19 minutes. That's kind of unusual for me. Okay, if nobody wants to call, I'm going to go on to my second article. This is the one that I think is interesting also. And so this is about, and I looked it up. I went to the Centers of Disease Control. Hang on, we got a phone call here. That's my favorite. Let's do that. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you this morning,
sir? I'm great. Thanks for your phone call.
Well, thank you for listening.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'm about to turn 79 years of age next month.
Happy birthday.
And I'm facing, at this moment, a surgery that's going to happen the 1st of October. The surgery is, they say, is necessary because I've got plaque buildup in my artery close to my heart. And what they want to do is put in a stent insert it catheterization wise up that way to unblock a plaque buildup. My first question, please, sir, is there a way that you're aware of that one can be rid of plaque? I know you need to know what makes the plaque build up, but once you've got it, how can you remove it maybe naturally without having to go through surgical operations or procedures? That's my first question.
Well, gotcha. So you want me to do that in 3 days, right?
I figured it's pretty complicated.
Well, yeah. But then again, you know, everything that God has designed is complicated, isn't it? It's kind of hard to wrap our minds around it. Okay, I don't know if I'm going to answer it exactly the way that you want, but let me have a go at it from my perspective. Have you ever heard the term berberine?
I don't think so.
Okay, berberine refers to a classification of compounds that would be found in plants. And so there's several herbs. One of the things they contain is a substance called berberine. Some people call it berberine. But if you went to the health food store and you looked on the shelf and you got to the letter B, I can guarantee you're going to find berberine. B-E-R-B-E-R-I-N-E, berberine. The reason I bring that up, I was looking up one particular, I was trying to answer one particular question that I had on the internet, and I was looking at plaque buildup in arteries, and an article came up and it said berberine. Now, I do not remember the exact numbers, but I can tell you this. They demonstrated that when people consume or they take berberine, and I would venture a guess, they're talking about either a tablet or a capsule in this particular study, but it was able to reverse and remove plaque from the arteries.
Mm-hmm.
So, but here's what I can't answer. I can't tell you exactly how much and what the dose was and how long it took to do that. But that would be one thing that you could look up. Berberine helps do that. Now, what I read this morning, I was doing some, sometimes what I'll do is I don't multitask. That means I can only do one thing at a time, but I think that's the best way for me to do it. Just don't get distracted and do three things at once. But I was looking up, I typed in research and then the common spice that people have used for thousands of years, it's called cinnamon. And in this particular article, there was a study where they were able to reverse plaque buildup. Anything that causes arteries to stiffen, well, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts. And so the ways that we would predict if plaque's going to build up in your body, we would look at what's called your hemoglobin A1C. If that's above the number, probably 5.5, then you're going to be at risk for having plaque buildup. If we looked at your lipid panel, there's a form of a lipoprotein. It's called VLDL. I think every doctor measures it when they do a lipid panel. When that's above the number 21, that's a pretty good indication that plaque is forming at a faster rate. So to answer your question, it's going to be higher levels of insulin. So if you've never had your insulin levels measured, it's easy to do. I think the lab that I use, they charge $14 to do it. It might be $14 and a penny. I can't remember. But if your insulin levels are above the number 5, the higher above 5 it goes, the greater the potential for plaque to form in your arteries. Some of that research comes from a school here in Texas at Southwestern Medical School up there by Fort Worth, which I've had a lot of people brag. If you got to go to any emergency room, that is the one to go to. They are the best. So that's good to know. But they showed when they gave when they put insulin in the arteries, they had the highest amount of plaque and calcification occur. So it may be that your hemoglobin A1C is a little bit too high. And if the hemoglobin A1C is like 5.7, 5.8, that means your arteries are sticky and gooey and crusted up with sugar where the plaque is forming. So I like cinnamon because cinnamon, it has a great unique ability to take sugar from the bloodstream and get it into the muscles. Now, that's what you want because that way you have energy, you feel physically strong. but you're getting the sugar out of the arteries. If the sugar stays in the arteries, that's where it causes a process called glycation. That's part of the whole process on why you'd have chronic inflammation in your arteries. So berberine is something you should consider. Cinnamon is another substance that you might want to consider. Do you sleep really well at night?
Actually, I have a lot of broken sleep.
Well, then let's try cinnamon to see if it fixes it. Because I just read a study on that, and it's so amazing.
Well, there has to be a certain form or source of cinnamon that one should use?
I think there were two forms they used, but one of them was called Ceylon, Ceylon.
Yeah, Ceylon. That's a country.
And I think also they used some cinnamon that came from Vietnam, which, if I'm not mistaken, I think they grow a really, really good variety of it there up in the mountains.
Mm-hmm. So one could do a research on the availability of that, maybe place an order.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so, like anything else, there's always the Goldilocks just right dosage. But if you were to look up berberine research on plaque, find out whatever, and I just don't remember what I read. This was probably like 2 months ago. I know I should remember that, but I don't remember everything I read. I just try to tell myself I can look it up and try to get the exact numbers. There's another substance that I find very, very interesting, and it has to do with if you compare people that have no plaque versus people that have the most plaque, there's an extract. It's found in foods, but one of the ways that they get it for a supplement, they get it from the husk of rice. So if a rice farmer is, you know, trying to liberate the rice so he can sell it, he's got to get the husk off of it. And there's a substance called inositol hexaphosphate. But what it's called for short, it's called IP6. When I say I, I'm talking about the letter I in the alphabet. IP6. So that's always dose dependent, but let's put it this way. One of the articles I read a long time ago showed people that had the highest concentration of IP6 in their bloodstream, they outlived everybody else. And what was my takeaway? I thought, well, maybe there's something about that keeps your arteries in good working order. You know, it's not rocket science, because the number one cause of death in America is going to be cardiovascular disease. Does that sound right?
That sounds very right. Yes, sir.
Okay, so if you can get your insulin levels at 5 or below, that's in your best interest. If you can get your uric acid levels at 5 or below, that also is in your best interest when it comes to plaque buildup in your arteries. And if you can get your hemoglobin A1C to 5 or below, that's in your best interest, because under those circumstances, you're creating the environment to have clean, great arteries. You want your arteries being spry and flexible and supple and bendable. That's one of the reasons why I've recommended dark chocolate in the past, because dark chocolate contains polyphenols that have been shown to make your arteries more supple and flexible. I'm going to recommend dark chocolate.
Those are very good recommendations, sir, and I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
One other thing plaguing me like almost since forever, and that is tinnitus, ringing in the ears.
Is it a high pitch or a low pitch?
Well, it's moderate. It moderates from high to low.
Okay.
But it's continual. I can't escape it whatsoever, and it is driving me almost to the point of insanity.
Okay, well, I hate that for you. Well, I don't want you to be tortured by that. So what I said earlier, if you have those blood tests done, VLDL, insulin, C-reactive protein, uric acid, what else did I mention? I mentioned insulin. Okay, so if those are normal, then that's not the cause of the tinnitus. But usually tinnitus is caused by low-grade inflammation in the blood supply to the brain and to the ear. So if it's a low pitch, that's almost always a liver issue. If it's a high pitch, that's almost always inflammation of the blood in the circulatory system. So we're just trying to resolve that. So do you take any drugs of any kind? Or have you taken any drugs long term, like Advil, ibuprofen?
No, sir. I stay away from meds. I'm a more firm believer in utilizing natural, holistic intake of vitamins, minerals, supplements. I'm a firm believer in the utilization of that. I want to stay away from all that chemical compounds that aren't helpful or healthy.
I think that's a smart choice. Good for you. When's the last time? I mean, sure, if they're going to do a procedure in 3 days from today, or 4 days, they've done blood work, haven't they?
Yes, sir, and I am taking preoperative meds to prepare myself, and of course, blood thinner is one of them, and I have to watch how I get around, because a little scratch creates a bleeding like you wouldn't believe it.
Oh, bless your
but
heart.
But again, if it's necessary for my health, I will take it, but otherwise I want to try to stay away from those minerals.
What I'm going to ask you to do is look up rutin, R-U-T-I-N, look up cinnamon, and just see what you can discover on the severe ringing of the ears. But see, that's what I'm trying to get to. I'm trying to get down to the core of the matter, like where's the source of inflammation come from, and where is it exactly being most manifested?
Mm-hmm.
So look at those right there and tell me if there's a difference or an improvement.
It's a great recommendation. I appreciate you very much, Doctor.
You're welcome. Have a great day, buddy.
God bless you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. There's the phone line once again open at 903-589-8507. Years ago, when I say years ago, I'm probably mean more like 20. I'm almost positive I came across an article, and it was about a master control gland at the base of the brain. It's called the pituitary. The pituitary, oh my goodness, does it have like an amazing role in influencing the health of the body? It directs hormone production. That would be one very simple definition of hormonal health, meaning your body is able to precisely make all the hormones that it needs in just the right amount and then release them at just the right time. That's hormonal health. It's just when your pituitary falls short, there is a correlation between stress on the pituitary and just an obnoxious, annoying ringing of the ears. Good morning. Welcome to the program. Hello, how are you? Well, I'm so sorry. We didn't have a good connection. Try one more time. 903-589-8507. Let's see if we can get you through this time. Okay. If nobody calls back, I'm going to go on to this next article right here. Because this is going to be in the category of something that's so simple that you can do to help yourself. What I did was I went to the Centers of Disease Control and just asked a question. Hang on, let's go to the phone lines. That's more important. People are more important. All right, let's see if I got you this time. Welcome to the program.
Yes, Dr. Morgan.
Yeah, thanks for your phone call.
Dr. Morgan, you have talked about sugar and honey. I do my best not to get sugar into my body in any way, and I have not been using honey in my coffee. I really would like a sweetener in my coffee, and I only drink a cup in the morning, so you know I'm not taking a lot of sugar, honey with that. What about blackstrap molasses?
That's definitely one option.
Okay. Yeah, I'm thinking that there are advantages to blackstrap molasses. Just overall.
Oh, yeah, it's like loaded with nutrients.
Okay.
I may be getting a little bit sidetracked on you, but there was a very famous British healer back at the turn of the last century. I'm talking about like 1901, not 2001. If I'm not mistaken, I think his name was Cyril Scott. Now, that's a great name, isn't it? Hello, Cyril Scott. Sounds like a brilliant man. But Cyril Scott, he wrote a book on healing all sorts of conditions. But one of the aspects that I thought was, or one of the conditions I thought was so interesting, is he made an effort to help all these young women that had all sorts of menstrual cycle problems, and they had all sorts of female hormone imbalances, and they were dealing with horrible anemia, which I wouldn't wish anemia on anybody. You want to get a person feeling bad where they don't feel great? Well, make them anemic. That'll get there. But one of the things that he would treat consistently and get great results is he would treat girls that had horrible menstrual problems that were anemic at the same time and had ovarian cysts. And case after case just mysteriously resolved and cleared up once he started administering blackstrap molasses. So there must be vital nutrients that are required for the survival of the cells of the body in molasses.
Yes. Well, that's good to know.
I know you're not a woman, but I thought at least to mention that part that I found interesting.
Yeah, well, it does have good healing qualities.
About a year. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The last caller was talking about blood thinner. He's taking blood thinner and
Preparation for the surgery.
Right. I tend to have bruises and cuts, especially if I get around mesquite, or I'll call them wait a minute vines. They scratch my arms, and I just get big dark bruises or cut after the cut. I'm not taking any blood thinners. I do my best to eat healthy. What could be causing that? What test maybe should I?
Okay, so if this was the year 1935, a doctor would say, young man, you have a vitamin P deficiency. P as in Paul. Now, have you ever heard of a vitamin P deficiency?
Never.
Okay, well, I researched that, and here's what I came up with. They're really trying to categorize or classify a group of flavonoid compounds that are called phenols, or sometimes they're called polyphenols. I know you know what poly means. It means many or much, one or the other. Anyway, but polyphenols, and so that's the way the doctors used to view this back in 1935. They would say, you have a vitamin P deficiency. And what happens is when you have a vitamin P deficiency, it causes your capillary beds to become very fragile. And so it doesn't take much to tear them. And what do? They tend to leak. And before you know it, you have kind of a reddish, brownish, purple, black and blue discoloration. Right. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So one, and this is just an experiment, but you got nothing to lose because I don't know of any side effects to it. If you start focusing, and the one that I'm going to suggest to you is called Rutin.
Oh, yes, I'm taking it.
Well, you got to take enough of it. Usually, if I want to make these go away, the product that I use is called Cyruta Plus.
Could you spell that, please?
Yeah. I think it's just a play on words, but Cyruta is C-Y. R-U-T-A, and I think you could probably gather from the ruta part of it, they're referring to rutin, but that comes from buckwheat, so there's many sources. You're going to find rutin is going to be found in things like onions, apples, for some reason I'm thinking of purple grapes. If I'm wrong about that, I don't think I'm going to steer anybody wrong, but the Cyruta Plus, if somebody's got like that, I give them 12 to 15 tablets a day. They're little bitty compressed food tablets.
12 to 15?
Yeah, it's not a synthetic vitamin, you know, like where you can get a million things in one. But it has a lot of rutin. And the other thing that I like a lot is is a form of microalgae called spirulina. But then again, when you look at the analytical or chemical breakdown of spirulina to find out what the components are that's composed of, rutin is just right in there. Have you ever heard of quercetin before?
Quercetin?
Yeah. Well, that comes from like the peels of apples, and it comes from onions, which are like really healthy for human bodies. But they even think that the main ingredient that's found in quercetin that has the most biological activity is actually rutin, R-U-T-I-N, rutin.
Very good. We're taking rutin and spirulina.
Okay, well,
since you mentioned it.
But it's dose dependent, which means give the body what it needs to get back in good repair. But Saruta Plus is the product from Standard Process that I would use if I were in your shoes. And what I would do is I would start out at a minimum of 12 a day, give it 2 weeks. You should see at least a 50% reduction in all that bloody patches on your skin, because what it'll do is it'll help strengthen your arteries. Now, there are some situations like, and I'm just throwing this out here. I know it has nothing to do with you, but if somebody's drinking a lot of alcohol and they drink, 20 beers a day, there's no fixing anything. You just can't. Alcohol is that poisonous to the body.
Right.
But I really brought that up to try to convict you not to drink 2 gallons of moonshine every day. I'm just joking. I didn't mean that.
No problem there. We're
not, okay.
Don't drink any alcohol.
Thank the good Lord. But that would be the very first thing. The next thing that we would go to is just look at vitamin C. Vitamin C is so critical to making sure that the capillary beds stay together, but usually vitamin C and hesperidin and rutin and flavonoids or polyphenols, they're all just all found together. You might even take like the juice of a lemon, like a fresh lemon, and just rub it exactly on top of that area. Let your skin just soak it up and drink it in. I read an article the other day that one of the greatest skin rejuvenators they found, it's a compound found in cinnamon. I thought to myself, oh my goodness, is there anything that cinnamon doesn't fix? I mean, I'm sure there is, but it was just so interesting. And so but you got to have protein. Collagen and elastin, these are all the building blocks of almost everything you need. That would be the next thing I would look at. If a person has done the rutin, the vitamin C, and they still can't get well, then I got to ask, are they getting enough protein? And to me, the best sources of protein are going to come probably, number one, from ocean fish. So if you happen to like sardines or salmon or tuna or flounder, halibut, all those things are so critical to being able to glue the arteries back together.
Very good. Spirulina, was that 12 to 15 of the tablets?
Well, that's what I said about Saruta, but in the spirulina, that's what I would take, yeah.
Okay, and rutin, what kind of...
Well, I'm using the product called Saruta Plus, and I think it's just proven to work really, really well for me and for the people I take care of. So if you have a person, they've got bloody patches all over their arm, and they just barely bump a mesquite tree, and before you know it, they're ripped to shreds. That's where I would use Saruta Plus. It's just, they take it from the field. It takes them about 3 to 5 minutes to put it in tablet form, and they load it in the bottle. It's just very powerful stuff. Works great.
Very good. And quantity on that? Would that also be?
Well, the Saruta Plus, 12 to 15 is what I've been talking about.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Very good. We're going to be trying that.
Yeah, and Lord willing, you will have very good results to show for it.
Thank you so much.
You betcha.
Appreciate you.
You're sure welcome. You'll have a good day, folks.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and bye-bye. All right, the phone line is once again open at 903-589-8507. Yes, there's another number that goes to the radio station, but that's not the one that goes to the control board. So if you call 903-589-8507, I'll do whatever I can to kind of get you in and take your phone call and answer whatever questions you may have. Do you know, let's go to the phone lines first. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
I'm great. You got the right phone line. Way to go.
yay. Well, you know, when you look it up online and you're driving and all that, it's, you know.
Oh, no, I get that. That's why I tried to go out of my way to say, hey, call the other number.
I appreciate that all too much. So, we've been talking about sugar and all that. You've answered a whole lot of questions.
Uh-oh, I think I lost you. Are you back?
Uh-oh. Hello, can you hear me?
Yep, I can now. I think you're driving down the road, aren't you?
I am. I'm way south of Jacksonville right now.
Okay, good deal. It cuts so, out at Mount Selman.
Monk fruit sugar.
That's probably pretty safe.
Okay.
One thing that I find interesting is when I look up studies on maple syrup, some people can use maple syrup as a sweetener and they do very well, but there was one study maybe a year and a half ago or a little bit longer. Out of all the things they tested, maple syrup effectively killed breast cancer cells more effectively than anything else. And so I thought to myself, what's in maple syrup that it can do that? But evidently there's something in maple syrup that causes breast cancer cells to go ahead and die, which I find very interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah. So what if you could try maple syrup to see if that could satisfy you?
Well, what I was looking at is there's a keto flour, which is not a wheat flour. It's more of an almond flour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Egg powder, protein, and bamboo fiber.
What was the last one again?
Bamboo fiber.
Did you say bamboo?
Fiber, yes.
Okay, all right, I'm with you.
And then can use that in baking. And okay. I was using monk fruit with it, and that's why I was wondering what your thought process was on it.
And what you're doing is you're just trying to navigate, what can I make for myself that's not going to be counterproductive? I don't know. I've read such good things about extracts that come from bamboo that I find so interesting. And you already know how I feel about eggs. Eggs are like a perfect protein. And let me make one comment about almond flour. Almonds have one of the highest levels of what's called oxalates. Oxalates are just naturally occurring to act as natural pesticides. I'm not trying to say they're bad, but in some people, they're going to cause pain, inflammation. So you know your body better than anybody else. Does it feel really, really good, or do you have aches and pains that just aren't going away?
And I haven't noticed any real change. The other question with that would be, does that have a negative effect on the kidneys?
Yeah, because the almond flour is going to have a very high amount of what's called oxalic acid. And under a microscope, they look like small razor blades. And so just think, if I load my body up with razor blades and they have to be processed through the kidneys, could that cut my kidneys up and damage them? I say it's got great potential to do that.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah, that's probably one thing I wouldn't do is almonds if I had kidney issues, and that would be high blood pressure, or maybe the kidneys have been damaged and you're trying to get them back in good working order.
What about pecan flour?
I don't know anything about pecan flour, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to look it up, though.
How about we ditch the whole thought process and just go back to really good food and forget it at the other stuff?
I'm game. Let's do it.
You know, good steak, good burgers,
yes.
Good fish.
I think the other day a woman was
and
saying,
veggies, of course.
She said, I'm going to go have a cheeseburger. We're going to wrap it up in lettuce with everything. I'm going, perfect, do it.
There you go.
Yeah, and you're right about that. I don't want to make anything too complicated, but the less processed it is, the better it is for you.
Awesome.
Like in your case, if you wanted to fill up with something good, I would say, why don't we use cabbage instead of almond flour?
I love cabbage.
Yeah, and you could cook it, you could shred it, you could saute it, it could go in soup, but cabbage is like a wonder drug.
Oh, I make a great cabbage soup, and I just made cabbage and ground beef and peppers and onions the other day.
Oh my goodness, you could do quite well on that health-wise, couldn't you?
With Rotel.
Okay, that sounds good.
What about tomatoes and kidneys?
I usually think the tomatoes are probably okay. When you say tomatoes, you're not talking about heavy, heavy tomato paste in large doses, are you?
Not in large. Like I said, a can of Rotel and a pound of ground beef and a bag of cabbage.
I don't know that I would see a problem with that. And you already told me you don't have any aches or pains of any kind.
I told you they haven't changed.
Well, I gave you the option to answer it directly, and you chose to say that. No,
well,
and that's all I'm asking.
They haven't gotten worse, and they haven't gotten – there's really not – when the worst part is just getting up after sitting for a long time.
Okay, well, that means that you've got inflammation, and there might be some oxalate, so I would skip the almonds. And tomatoes are a member of the Solanaceae family, which means they're like a nightshade. In some people, they can generate arthritis, and so – I usually ask everybody, what happened once you gave up tomatoes? And they go, well, all my aches and pains in my knees and feet and arms went away. I'm going, okay, well, we can learn something from that. But, let your body tell you. So if you have aches and pains that are not going away, then maybe you want to, forego the tomatoes for a while. See if that clears up.
Okay. Is there after effect from after I had sciatic and now I'm having issues like numbness? In the calf area.
Yeah, in
calf area.
What you want to do.
Down into the right foot, which is where I had my sciatic, the right side.
Yeah, well, what I'm going to tell you, it may not make logical sense, but they're called mobility exercises.
Right.
And so if you went to YouTube and typed in hip mobility, knee mobility, ankle mobility, those would be the exercises that I would use that actually correct all those imbalances along the nerve in your legs and your muscles to get you back in good working order. That's really the ticket right there. If you want your body to last a long time and to feel great, mobility exercises, they are the bomb.
There you go.
I don't mean a nuclear bomb.
Well, there's enough of that going on, too.
Whew.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
I will come back and re-listen to the program so I can get
okay.
all this. Thank
okay, sounds
you
good.
So much. You're awesome.
All right, be
Appreciate
safe.
You.
Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, there's a phone line open. There's about 6.5 minutes left in the program. The phone number here at the station is 903-589-8507. You know, folks, he's really right. If we just got back to real food, that would be the way that we could get the body in good working order. Well, thank you very much for your phone call.
Dr. Morgan.
Yes, sir.
The last caller there indicated he had a problem with sciatica.
Yeah.
I had as well. I don't know if this is right or not, but I wanted to make a recommendation on a product.
It's right for you, isn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The product is called Sciatica Ease. S-C-I-A-T-I-C-A. I-E-A-S-E. Sciatica Ease.
Yeah.
It's a sciatica nerve formula.
How do you take
it? I highly recommend it. You could look it up. I could read it. Another problem I have with my vision.
Do you take it orally or is it applied topically?
Yes, sir. Orally. I take 2 tablets in the morning and 2 at night.
Okay.
And as long as I'm getting results, I highly recommend anything that it works for me. And this might be of help to this gentleman and anybody else that's having sciatica problems.
All right, sounds like a winner. I'm going to look it up. Sciatica Ease. I found it right there. Okay.
Good deal.
I want to find out what the ingredients are. Yeah, it says spine and disc formula. Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where is it? I need to find out the... Man, they make you go through all the stuff just to get to the ingredients. Okay.
You got the location or the...
Oh, I see it right here. It contains PEA. I've talked about in the past for people that have bad pain because it helps that. That's cool. Contains alpha-lipoic acid, acetyl L-carnitine, benfotiamine, which is the fat-soluble form of vitamin B1. It's got B-complex. Uh-huh. It says botanical herbal blend. It doesn't tell me what they are, but that sounds good. Good job. It says here that only people with very high IQs take it. That's weird.
Well, if I qualify for that, but I try my best, I guess.
Hey, that is very, very kind of you to call and offer that suggestion for people that are hurting. You're a great man. Thanks. You're trying to make the world a better place. I appreciate you a whole bunch.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Have a good day. Bye-bye. Isn't that great? I love it when people try to share things they have found to be very beneficial and very helpful. That's just wonderful. Thank you, sir. Okay, Centers of Disease Control. Get this right here. This is going to be unbelievable. You're probably not even going to believe me. Actually, there's a phone call. I'd rather take a phone call than talk about the Centers of Disease Control. All right, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I wonder if you can help me with a problem that I've been experiencing lately.
I'll sure try. We've got about 3 minutes, so give it your best.
Okay. I am experiencing extreme pain and numbness in my legs and feet. This has been going on now for a few months. I've gone to the doctor a couple times, and he just kind of throws his hands up.
So can you walk barefoot outside as much as you want?
Well, I'm no, I can't.
Okay. Can you exercise?
I'm in a wheelchair, so okay.
Well, I mean, that's
so,
just...
No, I'm not able to.
Well, one of the basic metrics is your muscles are crying out for oxygen.
Okay.
And so that's what I was trying to say. If you could... Now, can you stand up and walk on your own?
No.
Okay. Can you move your feet and legs?
The right foot... I'm having more and more difficulty. The majority of the day, I can't even feel my right foot.
Would I be rude if I asked, did you have like a serious accident or something like that to damage? Okay, I'm so sorry.
But that didn't affect the legs or the feet. This is something new. This is something brand new.
So you're just
blue.
Okay, so you're just all of a sudden in a wheelchair. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no. I'm in the wheelchair as a result of an accident.
Okay,
but
I'm with you now.
With my legs and feet, this is something new.
Well, what this is suggesting is your nerves are crying out most severely in great pain. They're probably very deficient in oxygen. They're probably lacking nutrients. And so I was just trying to find a simple way to correct all that.
Okay, I understand.
So can you put your legs and your feet in a bucket of ice water?
Yes.
Because what happens is when you put your feet and your lower legs in a bucket of cold water, your tissues will start to release what are called cold shock proteins, and they will try to rise to the occasion to help your body heal. If it were me, this is what I would do. I've just got 20 seconds left, so let me say this right here. I would take fat-soluble chlorophyll. I would start rubbing and massaging my feet and legs with extra virgin olive oil. I would go outside with shorts on in my wheelchair, and I would sunbathe my legs. I would manually try to bend and stretch and move my legs and feet around. So,
okay.
Unfortunately, we're just out of time, but if you'll call me next week, I'll try to pick up where we left off, and we'll come up with a more comprehensive plan that'll benefit you, okay?
Okay. I will call back.
Yes,
thank you so very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for your phone call. I really appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.